Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Surely you're not nervous. Perhaps it will calm if I tell you a story.
We are met to call from out of the past. Stories, strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fact, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this right. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen plays, we urge you calmly, seriously, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to The Horror. Thanks for joining me this Saturday. We'll hear from Beyond Midnight on this episode, a series that aired over South African stations from November of 1968 to April of 1970, produced 78 episodes. One we'll hear today is from July 18th, 1969. It's titled The Jokester.
Plus nine.
Three of hearts.
It was Bradley's idea. It was a dull night, and in the dingy little room at headquarters where the reporters on the police beat gathered, Bradley, of the Express, tired of playing three-handed stud and waiting for something to happen.
I've had it.
Well, what do you mean, you've had it?
I've had it. H-A-D-F-I-T-F. I've had it.
The man's had it.
Yep.
I guess I've had it, too. I reckon I'll go home.
Yeah.
Hey, tell you what. Let's play a joke on old Pop.
Huh?
Let's play a joke on old Pop. Pop Henderson was a night attendant on duty at the morgue in the basement of the building. Funny place to play a joke. Funny person to play a joke on. Pop Henderson, watchman at the morgue. But Bradley was like that, you see. He was a jokester. And that's how it all began. The hour had gone long beyond midnight.
Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder, presents Beyond Midnight by Michael McCabe.
So, how about it?
How about what?
Let's get old Pop a little bit, huh? What do you say?
No, I'll leave old Pop alone. He's not very bright. Should have been retired years ago. Slow-witted.
So, he's slow-witted. Well, you gotta be working in the morgue. So who cares? So he's slow-witted. I got a gag. B.O.F. Morgan?
Huh?
Let's go and kid old Pop a bit, huh?
I don't care. I've had enough. I gotta wait till the paper's gone to bed.
Sure.
What kind of joke, Bradley?
A joke, boy. Wait and see.
He's an old guy. He's never been retired, anyhow. His age, huh? Well, he's got obligations. Gotta work. Wife's an invalid. He needs the dough. Now, what does he do all night long in the morgue, then? Read? Does he read or something? Read? He can't see your hand 3 feet from his face. No, he don't read. Listen to the radio? How should I know?
Well, how about it, huh?
Night watchman in the morgue.
Well, little Johnny, what do you want when you're all grown up and leave school?
Please, teacher, I want to be night watchman at the city morgue.
Come on, you guys. It's a bad night. Need something. Huh? What do you say? What do you say, Morgan?
Morgan the morgue. Now, leave Pop alone. He's old.
So he's old, for Pete's sake. So everybody don't laugh anymore just because they get old? Come on.
Oh, yeah, why not? Come on, let's go on down. See old Pop.
Boy, I like a drink.
Hey, maybe Pop's got booze down in the morgue.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I get all those compartments and don't stack tips at all. He keeps bottles of my whiskey there for the picking.
Bradley was an inveterate practical joker. He had a reputation for thinking up original gags. To him, it was the joke that counted. He didn't care whom it was on. Pop Henderson sat in his tiny office. He was long past retiring age, but he had commitments. He didn't read or listen to the radio. He just sat night after night waiting for his shift to be over. Along one wall of the main room were 20 compartments, about 18 by 24 inches, just big enough to hold a full-grown man, providing, of course, he had no intention of turning over. And no one who occupied one of the compartments ever did. They were refrigerated, with the temperature below freezing.
Hey there, Pop. We'd like to see number 11. Just had a tip. He may be that missing New York banker.
Number 11?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to do, Brad?
Shut up. Yeah, number 11, Pop.
Say, hey, young boy, is it the one you're looking for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks like him, okay. Now listen, get the record on this guy for us, Pop, will you?
Okay, Mr. Bradley. Okay.
Okay, Morgan, come with me. Fur, you go with Pop. Keep him in the office.
Furness followed the old man out, and Bradley and Morgan got busy preparing for the joke. Furness kept Pop in the office, pretending to look through the papers of number 11, until Morgan came in.
Oh, there's no need to bother, Pop. Yeah, guess we made a mistake. You can put 11 back to bed. Come on, Fur. Let's go back. Play a few more hands.
Okay.
The two newspaper men went back upstairs, and Pop methodically put away the papers in their file. Then, with the same slow, unhurrying movements of a man who is waiting out his life on a job, he trudged back into the big morgue room toward the open compartment, the extended slab, and the sheeted figure lying on it. He was a dozen feet from it when the sheet stirred. And the sheeted figure slowly sat up.
Where am I? What have you done to me? What have you done to me? You tried to kill me.
Wait, see? He's alive.
He's come back. Dad, run. You're quick. What is it cost to survive? You really come on down, sir. What is it to you?
Oh, boy. Oh, that sure scared the pants off him, okay? Now, come on, get the cards out quick, before the sergeant gets down here. His ulcer's given the worst disposition in the state, and he will be sore.
Get up and look at me.
Oh, boy. You should have seen his face. Hey, what's the matter with you guys, huh? Great gag. Morgan, you look like it's Christmas and you don't have a dime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ha ha! Funny, huh? Some cut up, huh? The real comic kids from Funnyville. Wait. I'm laughing like I'm dying! Did you see his face? He's as sore as a boil on a camel's back. Hey, what's the matter with you two guys? Can't you laugh at a joke?
Yeah, I'm going out. If the shop calls, tell them I'm checking on the story.
Ah, sore head. Well, maybe it wasn't such a good idea after all. Oh, well,
I guess I'll go out and have a quick one and go home.
Faber's gone to bed anyway.
Now, hey, why? Come on, play cards, something.
No, I don't want to play cards, Fred.
Yeah, but you can't go home.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do, okay?
Sure, great. You give a couple of guys a laugh and they don't want to know no more. Like laughs is easy to come by in this lousy place.
See you, Brad.
Yeah, see you, happy guy. Don't see something funny outside and bust your sides. Hate a guy who can't take a joke. Go home to bed. Who wants to go home to bed? I don't want to go home to bed.
Huh? Oh, hi, Pop.
You should not have done that, Mr. Bradley. Gave me a bad turn. I don't mind that. Thing is, you got me into trouble with Sergeant Roberts. He keeps complaining about me anyhow. And me busting in on him just now got him real mad.
Yeah, well, you see, Pop,
when we got down there and found all the corpses just like they should be, first he said I was imagining things. Then when I said you press fellas had just been dying, he figured out it was just one of your jokes.
Yeah, Pop, well, there
he
it
said
is.
If I fell for any more jokes or made any more mistakes, he'd see to it I'd have to resign, like I should have done years ago. And I can't resign. I gotta have the money. So, Mr. Bradley, no more jokes, please.
And Bradley looked around him at the dingy little office and felt bad. Not for what he'd done to Pop, but because the night had suddenly turned sour on him. His friends had gone, and Bradley felt lonely and unwanted, and a bit stupid.
Yeah, well, I guess that was the fastest that old man's moved for more than 20 years. Guess I'll ring the paper and go home. No, I don't want to go home.
And that was Bradley's biggest mistake. He should have gone home. He should have gone home there and then. If he had, what happened after in the morning small hours wouldn't have happened. But it did happen, because Bradley, you see, was a jokester with no taste. No taste at all.
I feel like a new man. It's a lovely day today.
I thought you had flu.
I took a grandpa headache powder, and I'm well better.
When colds and flu are about, grandpa headache powders are what you need. Grandpa headache powders work fast because they dissolve almost immediately. Grandpa makes all those dreadful flu symptoms disappear quickly. So, whenever you're in pain, get fast relief. Get grandpa headache powder.
Ah, grandpa.
Just soak in Biotech.
Stains, grass stains, collar and cuff stains, ingrained dirt, soil and grime. Out they come and you don't stir a finger.
Just soak in Biotex.
Biotex with natural enzymes is the pre-wash powder with the most enzymes to give you extra pre-wash power. Absolutely no rubbing, no color loss, no fabric wear. Soaking in Biotex removes the stains and dirt that washing won't.
Just soak in Biotex.
So I can't even blow smoke rings anymore. Even when I was a kid, I could blow smoke rings, good smoke rings. Now I can't even make bad smoke rings anymore. Can't make smoke rings at all. I need a laugh. I need something. Oh, city desk, please. Extension. Oh, yeah. Good, thanks.
Oh, hi. City desk. Express, Bradley. Now, all quiet here. Ever gone to bed? Ah, good, okay. I'm going home. Don't look for me till tomorrow. So...
Jovial.
I need to laugh. A man like me's got to have a laugh. Or else he just dries up.
Drink? Sure. But no place where Furness or Morgan might be.
A little place close to the docks, that'll do. A little place down there. But no newspaper crowd down there.
And from the very beginning of time, this evening was ordained. What Bradley would do, where he would go, and what would happen to him. From the moment of his birth, Bradley was set on a journey that was going to take him to a bar near the docks after playing a joke on an old man. And in that bar...
Okay.
Another. He looked around. It was late. Close to 3 a.m. The bar was empty, almost. Just him, the bartender, and a leathery-looking little fellow with his foot on the brass rail drinking beer. The bartender looked like a man who could laugh, and the little fellow... Well, he'd have to. He was too scrawny to do anything else. Bradley, the jokester, thinks of a gag. He bends over, as if to tie his shoelace. Deftly, he slips a match in between the sole and the upper of the little drinker's shoe. He lights the match and straightens up again and orders another drink.
Give me another, bartender, if you please.
Sure, Pop.
Hey, watch. Wait.
What?
Hey, what's going on? What's the big idea, huh?
The little leathery man hopped and skipped and frantically tried to put out the burning match in his shoe. Then he saw Bradley laughing. And without another word, he swung. Bradley just had time to feel a wicked snap somewhere at the base of his skull, and all the lights went out for him.
Big slob, give me a hot foot. Me, Kid Wilkins.
Head him kind of hard, Kid. He's lying awful quiet.
Just a left of the mouth. Loosen a couple of teeth, that's all. Next time he'll think twice when he goes around playing them kind of gags.
Yeah, but his head, it's twisted kind of funny.
Just suppose.
Yeah. Dead. He's dead. Dead as a nice smelt.
Dead? What was the accident? I didn't hit him hard. That's a hunch. It was an accident, see?
Sure, Kid, sure. Accident. Wait, I'm gonna make like the place is closed.
Accident, that's all it was. Get up, you slob.
This ain't good, Kid. I've got enough trouble with the cops without nobody dying in here. And you... You've got a couple of assault and battery charges standing again. You're ready. Kid, this ain't just bad. This is no good at all. This slob's a reporter from the Express.
A reporter?
A promise as bad as
I
a cop.
I have to get me a hot foot. And I have to hit him. And he has to break his lousy neck. Why? Tell me why.
Never mind the why. I got an idea. We got to get him out of here. Over by the docks, we'll dump him. Make it look like he got mugged. Or maybe he was plastered and took a bad dump.
Yeah, Mike. My ship sails 6 a.m. I just won't come back to this port. If anybody traces him here, he went out loaded when you're locked up. You don't know from nothing.
That's it. Come on. First we take all this stuff, so they take longer identifying him. Here. Then we take him out, okay?
Okay, Mike, okay. Anything you say.
Bradley regained consciousness abruptly. Semi-consciousness, rather. Enough to know he was still alive. He tried to move, but his body was numb, and his muscles would not obey. He felt no pain, no sensations of any kind. He couldn't even be sure in what position he was lying. Though he thought it was on his back. Bradley was conscious, too, of someone bending over him. He thought he recognized who it was, too. But everything kept jumping. The lights hurt his eyes. He still couldn't move his body. Then, he discovered he could speak. Just.
Bob. 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 Anderson.
Yes, it was Pop. And the place was the morgue. The old man went on, oblivious, straightening Bradley out. He was sort of hard of hearing, you see. Bradley tried again.
I'm alive.
The stooped attendant turned, frowning. Had he heard something? Was there something in the room? What was it? Bradley tried again with tremendous effort.
Bob, it's me, Dave Bradley. It's me, Dave Bradley. Bradley, I'm alive. Get a doctor, quick.
Bradley, Mr. Bradley. I didn't know you with your face all swelled up Nobody knew you.
Never. I, Matt, I am lying. I shouldn't be here like this. Get me out of here. Get me to the doctor. Pop.
Pop Henderson looked troubled and uncertain. Then he picked up the sheet and folded it.
Mr. Bradley, I told you before, no more jokes. Once tonight is enough, Mr. Bradley. Once is enough.
And he spread the sheet over the recumbent figure, covering it.
Sarge Roberts wouldn't stand for me getting fooled again. No, Mr. Bradley. Not twice the same night.
And unhurriedly, he pushed the sliding slab into the compartment and closed the door marked 12. And turned the knob that held it shut. And with the body of Bradley wrapped in its sheet and safely behind the door of compartment 12, the old morgue night watchman, Pop Henderson, plodded back to his office and sat down to wait patiently for the end of his shift.
Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.
That's the horror for today. I'll be back Wednesday with more. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. The donate button there as well if you'd like to help support this show, help keep it all going. Thank you very much to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again soon with another episode of The Horror. The Horror is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.